Parshas Ekev. At the end of Parshas Vaeschanan, Moshe Rabbeinu told the Yidden that for keeping the mitzvahs of Hashem, Hashem will surely reward them. The Yidden asked Moshe, "When does Hashem reward us for observing His mitzvahs?" And Moshe answered, "In this world, you enjoy only a little bit of the reward for keeping the Torah. But the main reward you will get in Olam Haba, in the world to come. Some of the reward you'll get right now in Olam Hazeh, in this world." And as the Rambam tells us, that if all the Yidden observe the Torah as Hashem wants, they do it b'simcha, happily. They do it with their full will, and they constantly study Torah. Hashem promises us that we will be free from any problems at all. We wouldn't suffer from any sickness, war, hunger, or anything else that might disturb us from serving Hashem properly. This is not the true reward for the mitzvahs that we will get in Olam Haba. This is only like an extra bonus. Since we go out of our way to serve Hashem by learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, Hashem is going to give us more and more opportunities to do more mitzvahs. And this is all because, Ekev Tishma'un, because you are going to listen to Hashem. Rashi tells us that the word Ekev also teaches us a lesson. The word Ekev also is like the word Akev, which means a heel. Ekev Tishma'un means that the Yidden will keep all the mitzvahs of the Torah, even those mitzvahs that some people think are not very important. Some people think that there are certain mitzvahs that are not as important as others, and they pass over it and step over those mitzvahs with their heel. And Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Yidden, V'haya Ekev Tishma'un, that you will be getting a special reward for keeping all the mitzvahs, including those mitzvahs that people sometimes step over. And what is the reward that we will get in Olam Hazeh? The Torah tells us, Va'ahevecha, Hashem will love you. This is such a special bracha, because if a person is loved by Hashem, he receives the greatest benefits. Uveirachecha, Hashem will bless you, that you will become rich. Vehirbecha, Hashem will multiply you in a very special way. Just like when the Yidden came down to Mitzrayim, they were first a family of 70 people and then turned into a nation of 600,000 men. The same thing Hashem will do to you now too. Uveirach pri vitnecha, Hashem will bless the fruit of your womb. That is, that women will give birth to healthy children. And no children will ever pass away during the lifetime of their parents. Yes, your children will be so specially blessed that whoever sees these children will say, "They're so wise, so pure." As it says in Yeshaya, "Kol re'ehem yakirum." All those that see them will recognize ki heim zera beirach Hashem, that they are children who are blessed by Hashem. Ofri admosecha, Hashem will bless the products of your ground, the gancha, your grain, the siraishecha, your wine, the yitzharecha, and your oil. Because of the schus that the Yidden do mitzvahs in connection with their field, the mitzvah of leket, shikha, Heya, separating Miser, and so on. Hashem will therefore bless their fields. Hashem will bless their wheat in the schus of the lechem apanim, their wine in the schus of the poured offerings, and their oil in the schus of the lamps of the menorah in the mishkan. Shigar alafecha, the offspring, the children that are born from your cattle. Hashem will guide your cattle that all the children should be born well. And this is a reward for setting aside every tenth animal as a sacrifice to Hashem. That's the mitzvah of Maaser Behema. And also in the schus for keeping all the laws that have to do with the karbanos. Al ho'adama asher nishba la'avisecha loseslach. All of these blessings will be brought upon you in Eretz Yisrael, the land that Hashem promised to your fathers. Baruch tihye mikol ha'amin. You will be blessed by all the nations. All the nations of the world will say, this is a wonderful nation that is blessed by Hashem. This pasuk also means that you will be blessed with more riches than all the other nations. Lo yihye v'cha akar v'akara. No man or woman will be an akar or akara, which means not to be able to have children. Every yid is going to be blessed with children. Our chachamim explain that these words also mean that your prayers will not remain without fruits, which means that Hashem will always accept and fulfill your prayers. This also means that the Yidden will always have Talmidei Chachamim, and that every Yid will know Torah. Yidden of all walks of life will know so much Torah that they will even be able to answer those who don't believe in Hashem. Veheisir Hashem mimcha kol chayli. And Hashem is going to remove all kind of sicknesses from you. Vechol madvei mitzrayim harayim. And all of the evil diseases of Egypt, asha yodaito, which you know, lo yisimam bach. Hashem will not put any of these upon you. Unusanam bechol seina echa. Instead, Hashem will bring them upon your enemies. V'yochalto es kol ha'amim. And you will destroy all the nations. Asher Hashem alikecha noisen lach. That Hashem gives into your hands. Yes, Moshe promised that if the Yidden keep the Torah and do the mitzvahs properly, Hashem would miraculously give over the enemies into their hands. The Yidden will not have to make any wars in order to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Rather, the Yidden will win over the enemies without any effort at all. Their enemies will just escape or give themselves over into the hands of the Yidden. Yes, these are all the brachas that Moshe told the Yidden they will have also in Olam Hazeh, in this world, for keeping the mitzvahs. Yet, the main reward is reserved for the Yidden in Olam Haba. Moshe then warned the Yidden that they should be very careful to make sure to destroy any idol worshippers of the seven nations living in Eretz Yisrael. If you don't wipe them out, they're going to harm the Yidden because they're going to teach the Yidden the bad ways. Moshe also warned the Yidden, don't be afraid of those seven nations because of their large numbers. Even though each of the seven nations outnumbered the Yidden, Moshe reminded the Yidden how Hashem drowned Paray and the Mitzrayim, even though they were so much larger in number than the Yidden. But, says Moshe, there is one thing Hashem is not going to do for you, and that is to destroy the idols of Eretz Canaan. Even though Hashem did that in Mitzrayim, during the Makas Bechayrais, when Hashem caused the iron images of the idols to melt and the wooden ones to rot. But when you come to Eretz Canaan, it is your job. You are going to destroy the idols of the seven nations. Do not take for your own use anything that has to do with idol worship. Don't even take the idols' gold or silver decorations. Because if you do, eventually it will bring you to worship the idols. Instead, look at their idols with total disgust and hatred. Don't even call them by their proper names. If anything, call them by funny nicknames. Moshe now described to the Yidden how Hashem led them through the Midbar with great miracles. He pointed out to the Yidden that their stay in the Midbar was meant to be a preparation for them to live in Eretz Yisrael. Because in Eretz Yisrael, they were to rely on Hashem just as they had in the Midbar. Moshe said, remember that the matzahs you brought out of Mitzrayim lasted only 1 month? And afterwards, you cried to Hashem? And what did Hashem give you? A new kind of food that you never knew about before, neither did your forefathers. That is, the man. And why didn't Hashem give you just plain bread? Why did Hashem give you this heavenly man? Well, the man was given to you for a few reasons. First of all, by eating this heavenly food, it helped you understand the Torah better. Not only did it make you free from all kind of work, so you were able to study Torah, it also gave you special wisdom and knowledge. Another reason why Hashem gave you the man, Hashem tested you by the man to see if you're going to keep all the mitzvahs that are connected with the man. For example, not to leave any over for the next day, and not to go out to try to collect some on Shabbos. Also, it is to test your bitachon in Hashem, that you're only getting one portion for each day, without having any food for the next day. Hashem wants to see whether you're going to complain or have true bitachon in Hashem. And yet the main reason why Hashem gave you the man is in order to teach you a lesson. Layala lechem levada yichya ha'adam. Man does not live by bread alone. Ki al kol moitza pi Hashem yichya ha'adam. But by each saying that comes out from Hashem's mouth, does man live. What does this pasuk mean? That a person should know that food by itself has no strength in itself to make us live. So how do we get our strength from eating food? It is only because during the 6 days of creation, Hashem decreed that food should give strength to a person. Hashem put, so to speak, like a spark of Kedusha, of holiness into it. And when we say a bracha, and we eat the food, that spark of holiness enters our body and gives us strength. And when we use this strength to serve Hashem, that spark of holiness is brought up to Hashem, and in that merit, Hashem blesses us with all good. Moshe continued on, reminding the Yidden, when you followed Hashem through the desert, Hashem gave you your clothing as well as food. You didn't have to worry about anything at all. You were able to study Torah and do mitzvahs without any disturbance at all. Our Chachamim tell us a very special story. Elazar, the son of Reb Shimon ben Yochai, asked his father-in-law, Reb Shimon ben Yossi, how did the Yidden have clothes in the Midbar? Did they have machines with them for sewing and to make clothes? Reb Shimon ben Yossi answered him, at Matan Torah, the Malachim gave the Yidden special garments which never wore out. But what if they needed new clothes because they gained or lost weight? And didn't the children need larger garments as they grew? They never needed new garments, said Reb Shimon, because their clothes grew with them. And don't be surprised that such a thing can happen. Don't you know that a snail's shell grows along with a snail? But didn't the Yidden have to wash these clothes sometimes? The Anane HaKavod, the clouds of glory, used to rub them until they were clean and white. But the clouds of glory were fire. Didn't they burn the garments? They were heavenly garments, and therefore were not burned by the clouds. Now, didn't the Yidden have a lot of lice because they were traveling in the Midbar for such a long time? Of course not, said Reb Shimon. We know that the bodies of that generation that heard Hashem's voice by Har Sinai were never touched by worms. Surely no insects didn't ever bother them while they were alive. And didn't the garments have sometimes some bad smell from sweating? Because they were never changed? Well, they were protected from that too, said Reb Shimon. The well of Miriam caused sweet-smelling grass to sprout. And when the Yidden rested on the grass, the delicious smell went onto their clothing. When the Yidden realized how perfectly Hashem took care of them in the Midbar, they began to sing a special praise to Hashem that we find in Tehillim. Hashem Ra'i Loi Echsar. Hashem is my shepherd in the Midbar. I shall lack nothing. He causes me to rest in the pastures of grass. The well of Miriam would divide into brooks, providing the Yidden with water near their tents. He causes my soul to be peaceful because I study Torah. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the frightful and lonely desert, I shall not fear evil, for you are with me. Your clouds of glory protect me. You prepare a table for me in the face of my enemies. You supply me with the man, which piles up so high that the kings of the east and the west are able to see it. Moshe explained the Yidden. For 40 years Hashem took care of you in order to make you spiritually ready to enter Eretz Yisrael, a holy land which is blessed with every kind of perfection. Eretz Yisrael has many water sources, brooks, springs, and rivers that come from the deep. It is a land that is famous for its delicious produce, especially the following 7. Wheat, barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives that give excellent oil, and dates. Besides produce, you will have riches. The land also has its own iron and brass, which is needed for working. It also has rocks, with which you can build houses. Mitzrayim didn't have such rocks. Moshe then warned the Yidden, as Hashem will give you so many special things, serve Hashem. Serve Him with your riches. Bless Hashem when you have eaten and become satisfied. Over here, Moshe told the Yidden about the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon, of blessing Hashem after eating a meal. Be careful, says Moshe, not to lose your fear of Hashem because you are becoming rich. Sometimes a rich person can forget about Hashem. Even someone who used to be poor and suddenly becomes rich also sometimes forgets that it is Hashem who saved him from being poor. Our Chachamim tell us a story. There was once a righteous man who was very, very poor. He would only wear shreds and was forced to look for food in the garbage piles. Yet, this did not disturb him in any way from serving Hashem. He spent many hours each day to daven, to pray to Hashem and study Torah. He promised that he's never going to accept any gifts from anyone. One day, Eliyahu HaNavi, the prophet, who was dressed up as an Arab, came over to this man and said to him, "I would like to give you a loan, 2 coins that you can use to invest in business. Will you accept it?" "Well, if you give it to me as a loan, I will." The poor man took the 2 coins and bought some merchandise. He sold it and got a little bit more money. He took that money and bought more stuff, and he kept on selling and trading until, by the time the year was over, he was very, very rich. But then, his business deals took up so much time of his day that he no longer had time for serving Hashem as he used to. Hashem complained to Eliyahu, "You spoiled the one tzaddik that I had." Eliyahu then appeared to the man again and found him busy with his business. "Do you remember me? It was I who lent you the 2 coins. Please find them and give them back to me." The man searched for the coins and returned them to Eliyahu. But as soon as he gave them away, his business started to go downwards. And slowly but surely, he lost all his money. By the time the year was up, he had nothing left, and he had to once again go to the garbages to look for food. Eliyahu HaNavi reappeared to him and found him crying bitterly. "What's troubling you?" he asked him. "I am in so much pain because I lost all my money." "Will you swear to me that if I return the 2 coins to you, you'll continue to serve Hashem and learn in Davin like before?" The man swore, and Eliyahu HaNavi gave him back the 2 coins. And this time, the man became rich, but did not allow the riches to disturb him. He set aside each day enough time to serve Hashem faithfully, just like he had done when he was poor. Yes, Moshe warned the Yidden, a rich man can easily forget Hashem, because he's not like the poor person who is always turning to Hashem to pray and beg him to help him. And therefore, when you have lived in Eretz Canaan for a while, and you built your own houses, you cultivated the soil, and became very rich by business, you might forget Hashem. You might think, "My own strength and effort brought me all this riches and success." You might forget all about the 40 years of traveling in the Midbar that showed you that you depend on Hashem, and Hashem taught you to fear and trust Him. I warn you that even when living comfortably in Eretz Yisrael, you must always remember Hashem, that He is the one who gives you the ability and the strength to be successful. And if you do forget about Hashem while living in riches in Eretz Yisrael, you will eventually be sent out of Eretz Yisrael into Galus. If you find this hard to believe, remember that Hashem destroyed the 7 nations just because of their evil deeds. And Hashem will do the same to you if you don't listen to Him. And I said before, He Here is where Moshe Rabbeinu told the Yidden about the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon. The Torah says, "Bless Hashem after you have eaten and are satisfied." The Torah tells us that we should say a bracha to Hashem if we ate bread. Our Chachamim tell us that one must recite Birkas HaMazon even if he ate only one kezias, that is, the size of an olive of bread. Birkas HaMazon has four parts. The first bracha begins with Hazones HaElam and finishes with the words Baruch Atah Hashem Hazones HaKol. In this bracha, we bless Hashem who nourishes all creatures. This bracha was taught to the Yidden by Moshe Rabbeinu when the Yidden received the man. The miracle of the man falling from heaven while the Yidden were in the Midbar showed the Yidden openly that Hashem in His kindness gives food for all creatures. Later on, when the Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael and they ate from what grew out from the land, they still were to be aware that even the bread that comes from the earth is only from a bracha from Hashem, and therefore we have to bless Hashem. Yes, in this first bracha, we recognize that even though we do work in order to get what we need for food, still it is Hashem who gives the food to us and to all creatures. Then comes the second bracha, beginning with the words Neida Lecha, and ends with the words Baruch Atah Hashem Al Ha'aretz V'Al HaMazon. This bracha is to thank Hashem for the land Eretz Yisrael. Yeshua is the one who taught us this bracha when he brought the Yidden into Eretz Yisrael. In this bracha, we also mention the mitzvah of Bris Milah, since in this Chos Hashem gave the Yidden Eretz Yisrael. We also thank Hashem for His Torah. By this, we show that the main reason why Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael is to study Torah and observe Hashem's commandments. Then comes the third bracha, the bracha about Yerushalayim. It starts with the words Rachem and ends with the words Baruch Atah Hashem Bonei V'Rachmav Yerushalayim. Amen. This bracha was made by David and Shlomo HaMelech. In this bracha, we beg Hashem to continue the rulership of Beis David, of David's house, and for peace upon Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the bracha was changed a little bit, in which we beg Hashem to rebuild Yerushalayim. And then comes the fourth bracha, HaTov VeHameitiv. This bracha is to thank Hashem who is kind and does good. This bracha was added by our Chachamim in order to remember a miracle that happened in connection with the Bar Kochva revolt after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Our Chachamim tell us the following story. Bar Kochva and his followers did not want to give themselves up to the Roman Emperor Hadrian. Instead, Bar Kochva got together 200,000 men for his army. He asked each one to cut off a finger in order to prove his courage. But the Chachamim let him know, "It is forbidden for you to cause the Yidden to harm themselves." That's right. A Yid is never allowed to harm his body. The body of a Yid is actually the property and possessions of Hashem. Hashem gives us our body in order that we take good care of it, eat well, sleep well, and feel well, And then we can serve Hashem properly. Bar Kochva answered the Chachamim, but how then can I test how strong they are? The Chachamim said, well then you can take into your army only those men who can uproot a cedar tree from the mountain Levanon. Bar Kochva then tested another 200,000 men and brought them into his army. Bar Kochva's own strength was so wondrous, he would catch the enemy's missiles with one knee and fling them back, killing many. Now Hadrian, the Roman emperor, was not able to win over Bar Kochva's army, because Bar Kochva took his whole army to the fortified city of Beitar. Beitar was a very big city that had many Talmidei Chachamim. It had hundreds of Batei Midrash for older people and so many Torah schools for children. The children used to say, if the enemy will come towards us, we'll go out and stab them with the iron points of our pens. Yes, they had so much betachen in the schus of the Torah that they're studying that Hashem will protect them. For 3.5 years, Hadrian tried without success to enter the city Beitar. But this city was protected by Hashem in the schus of Rebbe Lazar of Medin. He would put on sackcloth every day and ashes. He would fast and pray to Hashem every day. Ribono shel Olam, do not sit in judgment today. Therefore, Hadrian decided to give up and return home. One day, a kosi, that is, one of those goyim who became a ger, but they really didn't give up their idols, and they used to make a lot of trouble for the Yidden, a kosi came to the emperor and said to him, as long as the old rooster, he means Rabbi Lazar, is going to continue putting ashes on himself, you cannot conquer this city. But I have a plan to stop him. A short time later, while Rabbi Lazar was standing and davening, the kusi came to him and made believe that he's whispering something in his ear. Immediately, people went to Bar Kochva and said, we saw something very suspicious. A kusi is making secrets with Rebbe Lazar, and together they must be planning to give the city over to the Romans. When Bar Kochva heard this, he called the kusi and said to him, what secrets did you tell Rebbe Lazar?
Well, if I tell you government secrets, Hadrian will have me put to death. If I don't tell you, you will kill me. So, instead, I'll just commit suicide than telling out any secrets.
Now, Bar Kochva was convinced that Rebbe Lazar was actually planning to give over Beitar to the Romans, which of course was not true. Bar Kochva called Rebbe Lazar and asked him,
what did the kosi whisper to you?
How do I know? Answered Rebbe Lazar. His whisper was too low for me to be able to hear. Also, I was busy davening. And what business do I have with him?
Bar Kochva was convinced that Rebbe Lazar was not telling the truth. And he decided that Rebbe Lazar deserved to be put to death. He killed him with a single kick. A heavenly voice came out immediately and said to Bar Kochva, you have caused that the Jewish people's arm should weaken. That is Rebbe Lazar, who would help the Yidden through the strength of his tefillah, and blinded their right eye. That is also Rebbe Lazar, who enlightened the people with his Torah. Therefore, the people's arm and eye, Bar Kochva, upon whom they depended for leadership, shall now be lost. Yes, the sins of the Jewish people caused Beitar to be lost in the hands of Hadrian. Hadrian was able to enter, and Bar Kokhba was slain. The Romans cruelly killed out all the Jewish people there, young and old. The stream of blood was so big that it flowed as a red river into the great sea. Hadrian then decreed that all the Jewish people who were killed in Beitar could not be buried. Hadrian set aside a large vineyard, which was 18 by 18 mil, where the bodies of Beitar were to be thrown. The bodies of Beitar remained there in this vineyard for 25 years. The Yidden had so much pain from this. They felt so bad for those bodies that were not able to be buried yet. Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din decreed public fasts. They collected a lot of money with which to bribe the emperor to take off the gezerah, but it never helped. And the Yidden remained like that for many, many years, 25 years, until a new king took over the emperor's place. It was then that the Yidden were allowed to go to the vineyard and take the bodies of their brethren and bury them. You can imagine how happy the Yidden were, how thankful they were to Hashem that they were able to do such a great mitzvah of burying their brethren. When they came into the vineyard, the Yidden realized that Hashem did a great miracle for those Yidden. Their bodies did not smell. They were fresh after 25 years, just like they were on the first day. It was then that the Beis Din of Yavne, under Rebbe Gamliel's leadership, made a special fourth blessing for Birkas HaMazon, HaTov VeHameitiv, who is good and who does good, in allowing the Yidden to bury all the Yidden of Beitar. Now, why was this bracha put as part of Birkas HaMazon, of benching? The answer is that after the bracha in which we ask Hashem to rebuild Yerushalayim, we add a bracha that reminds us of the story of Beitar, in hope that Mashiach will soon come and Hashem will heal the wounds that our people have suffered. Our Chachamim tell us that a person should recite Birkas HaMazon, thanking Hashem for giving him food, word for word, with joy, with simcha and kavana, proper concentration. Now, Moshe told the Yidden, "Listen carefully, Yidden. You are about to cross the Yarden to battle against nations that are greater and mightier than you. You will conquer large, well-fortified cities by miracles." This, Moshe was talking about the cities like Yericho, which was conquered in Yahushua's times with open miracles. Moshe explained, "Hashem will perform great miracles for you to win over mighty nations of Eretz Canaan. For example, large hailstones falling from heaven upon the enemy, and the sun standing in the sky to give the Yidden more time to win over their enemies. You should realize that it's not your efforts, but Hashem's strength that makes you win over the enemies. And don't think that you're winning over them because of your righteousness. Rather, you shall be aware that the nations are being sent out of Eretz Canaan because they are so wicked, and Hashem does not want to give them any more chances. And because Hashem swore to your forefathers that their children will take over the land." Moshe then said to the Yidden, "Your repeated sinning during the 40 years in the Midbar proves
that you are an Am Kishei Oidev, a stubborn nation. Shortly after Matan Torah, you committed a grave sin. And that was, at the end of my 40 days stay in Shemayim, in heaven, after Hashem revealed himself at Har Sinai, Hashem gave me two sapphire luchos, which Hashem himself wrote with his holy script. On the very day that Hashem handed to me the luchos for you, you were busy making a golden calf. And Hashem said to me, Moshe, I let you reach the highest levels of prophecy only for the sake of the Yidden. You lose your greatness now because the Yidden did such a terrible thing. Hashem threatened to destroy you all, and instead to make me into a great nation, and by that fulfilling the promise to the forefathers to increase their children. When I came down from Har Sinai, I noticed that the mountain was still ablaze with the fire of Matan Torah. The Shekhinah still rested there. When I approached the camp, I saw the Yidden around the golden calf. Suddenly, the luchos, on which the Ten Commandments were engraved, became blank. I noticed how the letters were flying upwards, back to their source, the heavenly throne. Yes, the tuma, the impurity caused by your sin, caused the script, the writing on the Aseres HaDibreis, to disappear. I decided to break the luchos, because you didn't deserve to receive them. But Aaron and the Sanhedrin, who noticed what I was going to do, tried to take them from me. And we were pulling back and forth. And I was the stronger one, and I won over them. As our Chachamim explain, when a Chassan and Kala get married, it is the Kesuba, the marriage contract, in which it's written that they must be loyal to each other and always be together. So you can imagine what terrible sin it is if after the chuppah, after the ksuba, the wife goes away and doesn't have era, a sin. The same thing over here. Moshe Rabbeinu did not want that the Yidden should have the luchos, because that will seal the bond between them and Hashem, just like a ksuba. And for this, the sin of the golden calf would be so much worse. And that's why Moshe did not want the Yidden to receive the luchos. So they don't have that seal yet, that bond with Hashem, so they won't be punished so badly. With Hashem's help, says Moshe, Hashem strengthened my hand, and I was able to smash the luchos. Later, I returned to Hashem for another 40 days, from the 18th day of Tammuz till the 29th day of Av, to beg Hashem to forgive you for your sins.